What you're about to hear is some of the screams and cries of individuals when they first saw the impact of the first plane, 9/11, so many years ago. It was an incredible event, and it's pretty strange that it's now, this night, that I work on part three of The Abyss. When I listen to these screams and cries, people saying, look, they can't believe it. People are running. In the background, you can hear people saying, run, run, run. I wonder what it's going to be like on the day that the abyss is actually opened. For some of you, you've studied this background. We've decided to do a three-part series, and then we added three more, a total of six in this series on the abyss. I felt that it was so vital, an area of biblical revelation, and maybe even one of the big areas overlooked by a lot of commentators. I mean, who wants to preach about an event, along with a few others in Revelation chapter 9, that predict that a third of the human race will perish? Let me say it again, that a third of the human race will perish. By the way, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you want to know the main site, if you want to know the materials that we have been putting out, we put everything on the main site, shatterthedarkness.net. We also have preemptionbroadcast.com and do a live show on Sunday nights. And we've been discussing elements of the abyss and the concepts of biblical revelation when it comes to prophecy, prophetic insight that God gives accurate and detailed information about events that will occur, just like he did in the Old Testament, when the flood was going to come, or when other massive events were going to occur. If anybody understands anything about biblical prophecy, one of the foundations, one of the things that will strike you, will be the astounding accuracy and detail that what God has spoken and brought through prophets and writers and so forth and spoke about future events and even prepared some for those future events, he then brought about those events in human history. Biblical prophecy is giving us a snapshot into actual future history. When anybody studies the book of Daniel, Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2, or the book of Revelation, and specifically this chapter 9, you're going to be reading a lot about prophecy and about events that have not yet occurred. One of the most important things we who are believers in Christ need to understand, and those who have sought an alternative spiritual stream, those who have grabbed hold of some other spiritual experience, and you're looking and you're searching and you're a quester and you're a seeker, one of the things we need to be astounded by and take an examination of is the accuracy of biblical prophecy, of what God has spoken. There are so many people out there that believe that what Nostradamus says, parts of it comes true. Or what Edgar Casey says, parts of it came true. Or what Gene Dixon or what Sylvia Brown and other psychics have said, bits and pieces come true, it would seem. But what many who have not studied and looked at this incredible biblical revelation, it is a great communication from God. And God has given a communication about some of the world's events. We study them as past history. But now we can look into the scriptures and see future history. We can see future history and some of the reasons why there's that sense, that fear in the air, that looming sense that tragedy, catastrophe, and other events are just around the corner. Again and again, as I've listened in the past to Coast to Coast and Art Bell, I have sit there listening truly as a believer that loves God was not always this way. I was on the other side of the fence for many years. But on this side of the fence, understanding the power and the presence of the Spirit of God in my life, understanding the power of biblical revelation, of how the Spirit of God brought it about, that God, who is infinite, has given us insight, not only into the past, but also into the future. And when you look into the Word of God, when you look into the Bible, you're not only looking into past events and future events, you are struck by the fact that these are living words, that God is speaking through these words. And when you come to read, again, Revelation chapter 9, and I want to urge you, and I want to plead with you, and I want you to take a look at Revelation chapter 9. Now, for some, they're going to say something like that could never happen on the face of the earth. Let me stop for a moment, okay? What are we talking about? We're talking about Revelation chapter 9. I'm going to read the second half of verse 1 on down. It talks about a star referring to a fallen angel. The angel was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Abusos in the Greek. Bottomless pit, if you look it up. In other writings, it referred to a place of the containment of the demonic. If you look into the scriptures in the past and the gospels, you'll see where the demons literally feared to go in there. It seems as though it is the place where hundreds of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of demonic beings are incarcerated. They're imprisoned. They're alive. And as we've talked earlier on the talk show and in the podcasts, that place, that abyss, is out there. For some, they still believe that it exists below the surface of the earth. Others believe it's out in space. And there are some now that are believing that it's even on Mars. All of this is, again, the speculation about a real place, a real containment, and a glimpse that God has given us about an incredible, horrific future event that will impact the globe. It will impact hundreds of millions of lives. And it, along with other events, based on Revelation 9, the end of the story is that in a very short time, one-third of the human race will perish. Let me say it again. One-third of the human race will perish. Now, who really wants to speak about prophecies like this? Who wants to get out and start telling people, you know, that these kind of events are going to occur? Let me say something. There are those even like Whitney Strieber in his latest book dealing with 2012. And the possibility or the concept or the image he portrays of an alien invasion that's connected with the Mayan prophecies of 2012. Many who've gotten into the Mayan prophecies, and the ones that I have read anyway, are referring to a great catastrophe, the end of human civilization, or at least the end of human civilization as we know it, and maybe the beginning of a whole new world order, something like that. But let me tell you something. There are enough conjectures out there that we should be able to take a look, take a listen. You realize that there are millions upon millions that really believe that there is alien presence. That lately Ed Mitchell, the astronaut, has confessed that he believes that there is probably some other intelligent life. Scientists and many others. Richard Hoagland, who had just put out the book Dark Mission, in which he brings revelation of the massive occult, dark occult leanings, inspiration, and beliefs that are at the forefront of NASA. Now, in the fourth series on the abyss, I'm going to deal with how does the place get opened? How does the place get open? Here we're looking at the fact that it does open. And that when it does open, here's what, again, what God has said in the past and was fulfilled. The astounding accuracy of Old Testament prophecies into the New, and even of New Testament prophecy that's already beginning to be fulfilled around us. Many people, even those who do not believe in Jesus, do not have a relationship with God. Many individuals believe that, yes, there must be a shadow government. There must be an Illuminati. There must be a dark side, an evil side. There must be an Antichrist, and he's going to come to rule on the face of the earth. There are many ufologists, those who have been connected to research concerning extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional life. The belief in the existence of extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional life is very broad nowadays, coming from Harvard professors, scientists, military men, and millions of others. The question I continue to ask those engaged in ufology, and the reason why I traveled to Roswell years ago, was to engage the concept of this extra, and I believe, dimensional life form. This extra dimensional life form, in everything that I have read and everything that I have heard, if they're really out there, they are not friendly. If they are really out there, they are harming the human race. If they are really out there, everything about their attributes tells us that they are finite, limited beings. That they are sinister beings. That they cloak themselves and deceive the human race. That they're predatory. So my question is why there is such an embrace of the desire even to engage. Now listen, engaging extraterrestrial life forms is one thing. I mean, even the Pope and theologians have come out lately to speak and say that if there were extra-dimensional or extraterrestrial life forms and they did show up on the planet, that it wouldn't hurt Christianity at all. And I would say also, as a believer in Christ, as a young theologian, that extraterrestrial, extra-dimensional beings would make no impact on the biblical revelation of the existence of God and God's plan and what's been going on since the fall of the human race. But a better explanation in the world of ufology is that this is dark presence, that this is extra-dimensional, that they come from another side, that they invade the lives of humans, possessing them, harming them, guiding them, influencing them, deceiving them, and that biblical prophecy and even Jesus Christ himself warned of the days that we're now beginning to live in. Let no one deceive you. Matthew chapter 24. He spoke about massive deception. He spoke about massive chaos. He spoke about being ready at the end of days. In the book of Revelation, we have an incredible snapshot of a horrific future event. When the tsunami occurred and thousands lost their lives. When I watched picture after picture of individuals who were swimming at the side of the ocean, people in their hotels and right along the streets, when the tectonic plates moved and the waters began to move forward, this massive wall struck. And for hundreds, there was nothing they could do. They were swept away. After the tsunami and the tragedy, including Katrina, including 9/11, including the earthquake in China just lately, it's always afterwards that we want to put safeguards into place. Where I live, when tornado is spotted or when incredibly bad weather is coming, a siren will go off. You can hear it for miles. You know it means to take cover. You know it means to get down into a basement, to a safe place. We had such a storm not too many years ago that after it was all over, I decided, like many, to go out and see. There was so much damage. So many streets were closed down. So many cars were crushed. Houses, live wires everywhere on the roads. Thankfully, nobody was killed. But in other massive catastrophes, Mount St. Helens, Katrina, and many of the hurricanes that are coming and have come, volcanoes, earthquakes, and other events have devastated, shocked humanity. We're looking now at a snapshot of the future. This is going to involve, let me just mention, it's going to involve a number of things. It's going to involve the physical world, ecological, and environmental. It's going to be so massive an impact that the world will be touched by it. The biblical revelation, the prophetic revelation given in chapter 9 of Revelation verse 2 says that when the abusos, the abyss, when it is opened, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. It goes on to predict this, that the sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Let me again tell you that God says, Revelation 9, that the sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. This becomes visible. This becomes physical. This becomes an incredible impact to the human race. Along with the opening of this place, dimensional, where it's located, I don't know if anybody can detect where it is right now. I don't know if there's any way to, with ground penetrating radar, with space radar, or with any kind of microscope, any kind of telescope, any kind of device known to man. Is there any technology that can find this place where biblically the revelation would demonstrate that hundreds of thousands to the point of millions of extra dimensional beings whose attributes are the most horrific and evil you could ever conceive? Dear friend, as you're listening right now, this event, when it occurs, will be unmistakable. This event, when it occurs, will be unavoidable. It is not as though anybody can stop it, any more than anybody could have stopped the flood in Noah's day, any more than anybody could have stopped the judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah. What God has said and shown and given insight to has been recorded as living words of God. And these living words of God proclaim to humanity, on the one side, those who are believers in Christ that know the living Christ, He lives in your life, you know Him. How do you respond to an event like this, a coming event? We can discuss it like we did on the radio. Where is it at? Outer space, black hole, on Mars, under the earth. All we know that biblical insight gives is that the place exists, that it is vast, that it is clearly extra dimensional. It is extra dimensional, and somewhere, somehow, the door is opened. We'll talk about that in part 4. When that door is opened, and impact will occur. When you study Revelation chapter 9, you're going to find out that that impact involves, is included in three of these trumpet revelations. One third of humanity will be lost. One third of humanity. Let me just touch on this. I think that Whitney Strieber, I think that millions in that listeners of Coast to Coast, I think that Art Bell, and I think that many, many others would be extremely interested. If you believe that biblical prophecy spoken in the past has come about and has always been 100% accurate. And that biblical prophecy about future events, not just the Antichrist and not just the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but of events, and as I study these now in the book of Revelation, every one of these events are global. Every one of these events will impact the entire globe. If you're referring to the Great Revolt, or the rise of Antichrist, or the false prophet, or the breaking of covenant with Israel, or the attempted annihilation of Christendom, or Israel, or the judgments of God, you're talking about incredible global events, all of which have not occurred, but will occur. There is a sequence to the satanic evolution, to the Luciferian endgame. There is also biblical revelation that gives us the snapshots. It is not God that directly opens this thing called the abyss. It is the dark side that eventually opens. And when this opens, like a gigantic furnace, the smoke will darken the sky and the sun. And then extra-dimensional beings, demonic, evil, clearly by the descriptions here from verse 3 on down, they will come down upon the earth. They're not permitted to harm the grass or the earth or any tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given the power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. There is an incredible spiritual impact, physical impact, global impact, human impact when this abusos is opened. Oh, there's a description. The description of what these beings may look like. In the book of Revelation chapter 9, we read from verse 7 on down, because they're like a horde, locusts. And when you begin to read all of this, a specific part of this is in verse 7 where it says, their faces resembled human faces. Clearly, in some major motion picture, these would be described as demonic creatures. For some, they would look at this as alien beings. And in one sense, yes, alien to the human race. But God describes their nature. They're part of the dark side. They're part of the dark side that rebelled against God. They're part of the dark side that was so evil, so vile, so violent, that they had been locked up literally for thousands upon thousands of years. That they, by the way, biblical revelation shows us, demons, fallen spirits, angels, don't die. They can be contained, but they don't die. And with the nature that they have, they are bent on one thing, the destruction. The destruction of human lives. They're not permitted to touch those who have the seal of God on their foreheads. What does that mean? Listen, if you are a spiritual seeker, if you're a New Ager, a psychic, you're into some kind of other form of spirituality, you look at these things as conspiratorial. You look at these things as interesting end-time events or things. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in your life? Earlier in the Word of God, the rest of the Scriptures of the New Testament, those who believe on the living Christ receive the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. The infinite Spirit of God comes to dwell in the human life that turns back to God, embracing Jesus and all that He really did at the cross. Now, the Bible calls it salvation. It is a transformation. It is the wiping out of all wrong and sin and evil in our own lives instantaneously. It is a washing, a cleansing. It is the breaking free from the domination of a sin nature and of satanic seduction, lies, presence. It involves God placing into our lives a new nature, a new power to live. The living Christ who died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven. Listen, He comes to live in the heart of anyone, and it is God's call, God's summons. Out of the Word of God, God summons all people everywhere. Know this, God knows you, God loves you, and God wants you. Do you know God? If you have the Spirit of God in you, you know God. If you have the Spirit of God in you, that means you have received the living Christ. That's what the reference is. Forget about culture. Look back at Jesus, the most incredible person who ever lived. Not only the way He was born, the way He lived, the way He treated people, the way He raised individuals from the dead, the way He healed every kind of disease, that even creation would listen to Him. He would be called not only the Word of God, but He would be called Emmanuel, God in human flesh. The reason for His coming was for you. He has come for you. Dying on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 7, cried out, if anybody is thirsty, spiritually, if you're hungry for meaning and purpose and ultimate reality, if you want to end your search, if you want to know and have your heart, your soul, your spirit come to rest, Jesus said that whoever believes in Him, as the Scripture says, out of their inmost being, read John chapter 7. You'll see a reference to God the Holy Spirit. If you will come to the living Christ right now and just simply believe on Him, ask Him to come into your life, believe on Him as Lord and Savior, all that He did for you at the cross in shedding His blood. He didn't die for Himself, my friend. He died for you. He died for the world. Have you read this in the book of 1 John chapter 2? That He is the atoning sacrifice, the Greek word halosmos. He is the one that removes all of the judgment over our sins and lifts up and removes from us everything we have ever done evil, wrong. Instantaneous forgiveness, cleansing, and the power and love and life of God, the gift of Omnion Zoe, eternal life. The gift of indestructible immortality, a glorification. My friend, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you have none of this. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have the Spirit of God. If you read Romans chapter 8, it says very clearly, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And yet I tell you, God loves you. God totally knows you. And God literally, if there is anybody that wants you, it is God. God the Creator, the uncaused caused, the unmoved mover, the uncreated Creator, the personal, relational God. He can come into your life, walk with you all the days of this life, give guidance, direction, open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to the words of God, to the truth. Right. right now you can say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I accept all of who you are and all of what you offer and all of what you call me to. He'll come into your life and give you the gift of the Spirit of God. That, my friends, is the seal of God. Is the seal of God. You will be prepared on the day of a global and massive impact. A day in which millions will run through the streets, scream and cry. A day in which, as God describes, for 5 months, there is attack, there is horror. What will the military do? What will the politicians do? Will they go underground, seal themselves in protective places, guard themselves? Will it be a day in which people save themselves for a period of time? What about those who get struck? The sad betrayal of the future. In verse 20 of chapter 9 says this, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, wood, and stone. Idols that cannot see or hear or walk. They did not repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual morality, or their thefts. To me, it is an amazing thing. In light of catastrophes around the world, in light of the fact that you only have one life, in light of the fact that the Word of God says it is clearly destined a man once to die, after that there is a judgment. Your life will be called into account. To reject what God so lovingly wills and wants for your life. There's one thing the Scripture testifies to, and it simply says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Do you have the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to receive the power, the life, the eternity, the gift of eternity, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. We're sharing this on the eve of 9/11. As we remember what occurred, we share this on a night in which we will see in the future such a horrific event that millions and millions, and maybe even you, will be affected. Did anybody warn you? Did anybody plead with you? Did anybody ahead of time tell you, God loves you, God wants you, God knows you, come to Christ now? I tell you today, I proclaim to you today, that the abyss will be opened. It will be a revelation, clearly, of those who truly do know God, because they have been born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells within them because they have received the love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any reason why you cannot and will not, even now, look up into the eyes of the Savior? Call out. That's what the Word of God says. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My name is Russ Dizdar. You can write to me at shatter@sbcglobal.net. You can go to the main site, shatterthedarkness.net, on the web. I'm here because of the compelling love of God for your life.